Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. The time is 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:30 p.m. on the West Coast. You listen to TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And I truly apologize for the 30-minute delay. I'll take full responsibility on that because some things don't always work out right. And sometimes things are not put together within the time frame that I hope for it to be, but I made an error that where I had put information into the board, and then when I went back to update, I didn't remove the first setting that I put in there. So the system was kind of confused. It was asking me, well, which one you want, right? Okay, so that's what happened. So I had to go back into the system and correct it, because I did have two different things in the system as far as what the Saturday show was going to be. And I've never had to deal with that. But fortunately, I was able to correct it. So sorry for the delay. And so it's a learning process. I don't want to talk about it no more. Simple as that. But thank you guys for joining us, who managed to stand by and listen to us on the internet. We do have our guest coming up in the second hour. We're going to try to play catch-up in this first hour. And keep in mind, we normally do 2 hours, but, you know, I can stretch it out. So we'll see if we can stretch it out and get everything that we had planned for today for this show, because I think it's very important that we try to touch every topic we had plan to talk about. So without further ado, let me open up the microphone to the co-host, the lady of the house, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis. Okay, let the mic open up. There we go. Hey, Janet.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
I'm stressed.
Hey, I didn't realize that because I initially thought, you know, I put that in, but I didn't realize that it saved it. But it was interesting that the system came back and said, well, what you want to do? But it's not easy to correct it. You can't correct it just like right away. I mean, it's a lot of crap you got to do. So I'll get back to you after the show and I'll explain to you. You got to do a lot of stuff in order for it to update. So that was a learning process, and I'm glad I got that taken care of in the first part of the year. So anyway, you know, after all that whole thing, I want to get into our topics immediately and talk about some things. And I was going to get into the politics first, but no, I think I really want to talk about, you know, 2022 was really a bad year for the entertainment industry. You know, a lot of legends, a lot of folks that we, you know, love and watch, actors and everything. Unfortunately, many rappers at young ages passed away. But 2023 is not looking that great. You know, they used to say, well, you know, they go in pairs and twos and threes.
Right.
But it's sad to see that there's a lot of entertainers who are leaving us almost every week or every 2 weeks.
Correct.
I don't know if any of you know or have been paying attention, which some folks I've already realized don't pay attention. Lisa Marie Presley
well,
just passed.
Especially when it's someone that's a legend or related
An
to
icon.
Someone who's
right.
a legend.
Yeah, right. A family member, you know, and I'm sorry, you guys, I'm trying to play catch up here. I'm just opening up the chat room so that people know that we're here. The show is on here. Okay, so I got that done. All right, but yeah, I mean, wow, you know, Lisa Marie Presley passed away. There's people who are icons in the music industry that probably you guys won't know. But the original creator of the group The Whispers, he just passed away. A lot of folks probably don't know who Robbie Knievel is. Robbie Knievel is the son of Evel Knievel, the legendary stuntman who jumped over, you know, or attempted to jump over the fountains at Caesar's Palace many years ago and broke damn near every single bone in his body and lived. Literally, he broke almost every single bone in his body and that man lived and continued to keep trying to do stuff. And then his son follows through, following his father's legacy or his, you know, what he would do. But Robbie recently died. He was in hospice. And according to what the report says, pancreatic cancer, I believe.
Yes.
And he was only in his 50s. He was in his
50.
Late 50s. 60. Mm-hmm. 60, I'm sorry.
Well, the article
60.
Said 60. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's still kind of young nowadays, right?
Especially when you're almost at that age.
Right. And then here's Lisa Marie Presley, who was not a major actress or a major singer. She was the daughter of the individual they called the King of Rock and Roll, Elvis Presley. She was the wife of Michael Jackson. Allegedly. Now, I don't know. I've never seen the birth. I mean, I'm sorry. But I never seen the wedding, you know. I never seen the marriage license.
Well, they showed they got married.
Yeah.
So she, the king of rock and roll's daughter married the king of pop.
Mm-hmm. And people say, oh, it's just a stunt. Well, if it was or if it wasn't. I never knew that she had two kids. I knew she had a child, but I didn't know she had two. She had a daughter, and I believe the daughter's alive, but I didn't know she had a son, and I didn't know that her son allegedly committed suicide back in the 2000s. I never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
Yes, but I wasn't following her as much as I kind of like had stopped when I was following Michael Jackson and his death,
mm-hmm.
and I learned a lot about Marie Presley because of that. And, you know, but lately, because of politics, I haven't been staying up
well,
on.
Well, that's you. Yeah, you follow that politics, that's for sure. There's no doubt in that. But then I found out today that and I'm trying to pull it up, our sister Denise Wilkerson shared that a gentleman passed away that was a member of a great legendary R&B group. And his name was Keith Beaton of the legendary group Blue Magic. You remember Blue Magic?
I have, no. I'm serious. Mm-mm.
You don't know. Sideshow, Spell on My Mind, you know, What's
Mm-mm.
Come Over Me, all them classics. Mm-mm-mm. Serious R&B classic group. I'm going to pull up one of their tracks. But, yeah, he passed away recently. It's been a rough 2023 for the entertainment industry. And I'm sure I'm missing a few folks that we've heard that just recently passed. So, you know, just the first part of the year.
Yeah,
and
we're only 14 days in, and, you know, a lot has happened within the 14 days.
Mm-hmm. Hold on just a second. I'm getting a text. Right, we're only 2 weeks into the first of the year. You're right. And you're seeing a lot of legends that are leaving us, unfortunately. And I'm just going to be honest, it just sad in my heart because Lisa Marie was not very well known for being an artist. She was the daughter of a legend. And I kind of wonder if her passing, though, according to report, it was cardiac arrest. I do remember that they said that she was rushed to a local hospital. They didn't really want to respond to what her condition was. And then next thing I knew, she's gone. And then keep in mind, or I'll just share this, just this past Sunday, I believe it was, she was at an event Sunday in celebration of her dad's, what would have been his birthday. I don't recall how old he would have been. But and then she was at another event. She had been, you know, out and about in public at different events recently.
The movie that came out about Elvis Presley, she was
mm-hmm.
at that. Event and
that premiere.
It sold a lot. Made millions and millions and millions of dollars. So if she was in debt, she wasn't in debt anymore after that movie just came out.
Mm-hmm.
But it sold in the theaters.
Right, but you know, cardiac arrest. I don't know. You know, her son had passed not too long ago. It's been a few years back, but, you know, you never know what a person is going through, you know. Was it stress? Was it health issues? You know what I mean? You know, because I saw the most recent photo of her. She didn't look like, you know, she was in bad health. I mean, just what I'm saying as far as looking at her. According to some reports, she seemed like she was upbeat. Everything was fine. But, you know, it's just really sad, you know. At, what was she, 54, 56?
54.
She was in her 54, right. Yeah. But it's been a tough beginning of the year for people in the entertainment industry. And then you look at, well, just what happened in the NFL, the injury to the player. Fortunately, he's and thankfully he's, you know, on a comeback. He's recovering, you know, so that's a good thing. But it kind of makes you wonder, you know, it kind of makes you think, you know, about things, at least me. Okay, so enough of that. Let's get into politics. So what is it that what is this whole thing with this the what is it? I mean I'm calling it docudrama because since last year we had the drama with Donald Trump and the documents that he did have at Mar-a-Lago, but now all of a sudden they're finding documents that were in President Biden's office when he was vice president. And now they said they found another set of documents in a garage where he has his Corvette or whatever type of car there.
It was a total of 6 pages. That's like apples versus, not oranges, onions, compared to boxes and boxes. And also the fact that, right, and also the fact they brought it to the archives' attention. The lawyers did. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like they were holding something back or trying to hide. And they have been cooperating, you know. So to keep everything down and not make it look like somebody's trying to show partiality, a special counsel has been put on the case.
Put together, right. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, they had no choice but to. To be honest, they had to make it look like it was an even investigation that they're doing with, you know, with Trump. You know, they can't say, "Oh no, we're not going to investigate the president because he was investigating
But no matter what the findings are, people aren't going to be satisfied because they were already trying to do a witch hunt in the first place. You know.
Well, when you say people, you're saying the that particular party won't be satisfied. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Regarding them having Magic. Because Garland said he's going to do it. Well, yeah, they're going to push it and push it and push it all through this year. But I still don't see. I mean, I don't see where, even with Hunter Biden, whatever he did or didn't do. What does that have to do with his father? What's the connection? You follow me? I mean, there are individuals. Yeah. There have been many of politicians who kids do some crazy shit. Excuse my language, but it has nothing to do with the parent, right?
Well, another thing, Hunter Biden wasn't in the White House playing politics either.
Right. So what thing. Does that have to do? And he's a grown man. If he did whatever they're accusing him of doing, that's on him. That's not on his dad. And the thing is that as long as Joe Biden, the father, is not covering for his son, if they don't find any evidence of that, that doesn't reflect on what the father is doing. That's the whole thing I'm saying. But now when you look at other individuals who kids are involved in politics, and working closely with their parent, then you can say, this is in my opinion, that, well, there might be something going on because by them both working in the same field, it's just like when my dad owned, you know, his construction company alongside, and I'm working, you know, alongside him, okay, anybody can say, there's no way in the world you didn't know nothing about what was going on in the business that you two were working in, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one, I mean,
can I say something? That was one of the reasons why your father had me as like president when it came to paperwork and everything, because he didn't want it to look like he was, you know, showing favoritism.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, is that we're, and I'm sorry, I believe in, well, I don't believe, but I think that there are a lot of conspiracy theories out there. But what got me is that where, if Biden's been president this long and these documents were in this office, what has this office been used since he became president, or since he was vice president? What was being done? Who was occupying this office this long and not recognize or notice something there, you know? I mean, did Biden still have control of it?
Michael, he said it was locked up.
It was locked
up. I mean, he's been president for 2 years. That was when he was vice president.
So
they were moving something and saw a document, called it right away to people's attention. So it's not like somebody,
But I'm just saying is that where, so for 2 years, this office has been dormant. Nobody has taken, no one has occupied this office for 2 years. It's just been empty, dormant, right, for 2 years. That's the only thing I'm saying is that where, well, why is that? Is that normal?
Well, if you're in the White House, why would you be in that office if you're in the White House and you're president of the United States?
I understand what you're saying, but you understand what I'm asking. How is it that it took 2 years after? And granted, like you said, that once it was discovered, it was immediately turned over. Well, they had to. They can't hold on to them. You know, it still boggles my mind that after 2 years of being the president of the United States, this office was standing dormant. It wasn't used, or is this normal where, whether you're the vice president of, if you were Biden or any other vice president from the past, and when you vacate that office, does it stay empty all the time for 2 years?
But Michael,
and then
why
someone,
would he
and
be
then
in
someone
that office
said,
if he's president of the United States in the White House? Why would he be in that office? When he's no longer
my
vice
whole
president.
I understand, Janet, but what I'm saying, well, you're pretty much asking the same thing I'm asking. Why would that office be empty for 2 years, never been used, never occupied? Whatever was left in there was never removed. How come it was not, you know, gone over with, not like they're looking for anything, but just cleared out completely, whether desk or whatever. I don't know where they found these documents. Was there a desk just left in there for whoever might occupy it later on? My question is, how come that office stayed empty for 2 years, and all of a sudden somebody goes in there and say, hey, look, here's some documents. I'm just wondering, how come that office stayed empty so long? Is this normal for when any vice president, whether they're Democrat, Republican, or what, when they come out of that of those offices, because, you know, they stay in, what is the name of that building, their residency,
the
I can't think of it.
They said the documents were in a locked closet, so apparently no one had thought about unlocking it until recently. I don't know. But that's where they found the documents.
I just ask certain questions because I just still don't, I don't understand. If you're not in the office, you have no need for it anymore. You know, how come it's just sitting there dormant for 2 years?
Well, if it was his property and he's not there, I mean, I don't know, but he's at the White House, Pennsylvania Avenue.
I know the address.
Yeah, so I just
but
don't
you
know
do
why
understand
he would
point,
go to
though.
An office that was when he was vice president. I don't know.
No, but what I'll go back to conspiracy theories. As I said, you know, I'm not saying that Biden knew about it. I don't know if he knew about it. I'm not saying he did or didn't. I'm just saying I find it interesting. 2 years you've been president, 2 years these documents have been sitting in there. All of a sudden they're discovered. Okay, so somebody had to go in and out of that office at some point. Whether it's whoever the staff is, whoever it is, you know, not necessarily his staff, but somebody. There are people just like in the White House that just work in the building, right? They got to check on stuff. They got to, for 2 years now, they have to go in, they have to check and see everything okay in this room.
They said it was a locked closet. Maybe they didn't have the key to it until recently. I don't know. But they said
okay,
it was a locked
right.
closet.
I don't know either. Right. I don't know either. Right. So I have, you know, I mean, you have to question that. You know, at least I try to. Okay. So what's up with all that? I'm not saying that Biden did anything wrong. But then again, I can't say that. I can't go either way. Again, I'll say, and I see a hand being waved. I believe that's Cotton. I'm going to open up the mic momentarily. But I'm just saying that it just kind of seems odd to me now. With what's been going on in politics where everybody's throwing everybody underneath the bus. You know, as we know, the Republicans want to go ahead and try to appeal Obamacare, which is law now. They want to do this. They want to do that.
After 70 times, they want to go back and try it again.
Back again.
After
right, right. You know, and everything.
Times.
And now this whole thing with the documentation or the documents, you know, that are showing up and everything, which, as you said, it does not – it's not the same as with Trump, because Trump and them said, oh, yeah, we turned over everything and then we found more. But with Biden and them, now they're finding either way, you got to figure out how did they get there. On both sides, as Donald Trump says, on both sides, how do they get there? All right, so let me open up 209-689. I believe that is Cotton, K.C. Campbell. But if I'm wrong, please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Hey, everybody. How are you?
You just recently changed your number. You just recently changed your number, okay, so I'm trying to get used to it, but I did get it right the first time. Hey, Cotton, K.C. Campbell, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm used to having this conversation with you every Saturday, so it's fine.
You know, I have to start using the board and typing in your name, because you know you could do that, right? Whenever you're on the board, you can go right underneath the number. And you could type in the person's name there so you can always come back. In fact, I'm typing in yours right now. But go ahead. What's your thoughts on this whole thing?
I'm really just listening. Y'all know I don't do a lot of politics stuff. I haven't researched or even listened to any of what you guys are talking about. As far as online stuff, I haven't paid it any attention.
Mm-hmm.
I've been super busy.
But I just find it interesting, you know, with this whole thing, it's just, to me, it's just kind of ironic that here's the same thing that the former president is dealing with.
It's not the same.
Let me clarify that. It's the same thing when I say that it's documents, not how they got there, but it's the issue of documents. Of things that were supposed to be private, secret, confidential documents. I'm really thinking, was it possible that these were planted? You know, I mean, is that a possibility? After 2 years, someone just said, "Hey, let's plant these in here." I mean, it's not impossible. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that's the case.
You said it was a locked closet, found it in. Not like it was open where anybody had access to it.
Okay, so who had the keys to the closet? How did they open it? How did they get access to it? Did they break into it? Or did somebody walk up with keys? See, that's what I'm saying. If they figured out that, hey, look, we're in this room and this closet we can't get into. Who got the keys? I don't. Well, break it open. Or did somebody say, oh, I got keys.
And I'll break open the vice president's closet.
The former vice president, now the president. You're not following me here now. The point I'm saying is that where, you know, you got to have that moment. How did this really go down? Was it a lock closet? Yes. But the thing is that how did they access that closet after the point? I mean, after the fact, who said, let's go into this closet? Who came up with, if this closet's been locked for 2 years, is what I'm saying.
Did anybody read the article? There's plenty of articles out there telling what happened.
Okay, so you know one of the articles? I know one. I'll pull up one. Let me see. You sent me one. I'll pull up the one that you sent me. But that's what I'm saying is where, again, 2 years go by, all of a sudden this closet becomes, it's like a Pandora's box. It's like, ooh, what's behind there? I don't know. Let's take a look. It's locked. How do we get in there? I don't know. Maybe we should see if someone has keys. No, let's break in. See what I'm saying? Is that where, what was it? Now, if the article, which I'll read it, says, I mean, because I don't think they'll say someone produced keys, or I don't think they'll say they forced into it. Basically, they just said articles were or documents were found in a locked closet. How they accessed that closet, I guarantee you, you're not going to hear that. Guarantee you haven't heard that, how they accessed that closet. If the Republicans want Biden that bad, they would have definitely put that out there. They had to break into the closet, whether it's the truth or a lie.
No, what they wanted was to be able to investigate and bring it up instead of special counsel, Garland appointing a special counsel, and I know they didn't like that because they wanted to really run it to the ground.
Mm-hmm. I saw when Garland made when he made the announcement that he chose an individual to do the special counsel.
Yeah.
But it goes back to what I just said, or to put together a special counsel and an individual to run it. But it goes back to what I just said. Me. This is how I think. My thinking is, okay, you found these documents. After 2 years, how? How did they emerge? Lock closet? Okay. Who decided we need to see what's inside this closet? Did you find some keys? Did you have to force your way into it? That's what I'm wondering. I want to understand that whole point of it first. Because, trust me, if I was an investigator, that would be the first thing that I would look at. How long has closet been locked? I just want to finish. Who else has access to this room or who has had access to this room for 2 years? As an investigator, that's the way I would look at it. They got cameras everywhere. I want to go back and look at every camera and see who walked down this hall and walked into this office each time. That's what I want to see. You understand my point? I'm not saying Biden is guilty of anything. I'm just saying that there's something to this whole story, that there has to be a background to it that must be on video, because every hallway there, I'm pretty sure, have cameras, and they record and they keep that stuff.
They were vacating the office space, and that's how they were able to come up, find those documents. They decided to get rid of that space. And so that's how they ran across the document.
Okay. That office been empty for 2 years.
They said it was in a locked closet. It had been in a locked
closet. I understand that, Janet. You said that. I heard that. I agree. It just to me, I look at it where it could go either way in my mind, okay? You know, conspiracy theory, however you want to look at it, it can go either way. I'm glad they're going to investigate it.
And they right away gave material to the archive. It's not like they were holding them back.
Which is good. Okay, so we got to move forward because we did run over on time, you guys, and I apologize due to the fact that I did have a issue, and I blame myself for that with Blog Talk because I did have two programs set up in the system, and Blog Talk was confused, so I had to correct that. So we lost about 30 minutes of the show, so I truly apologize for what had occurred. All right, so let me see. Let me see here. Okay, so I see folks here on the board. If you're calling in on the show, by the way, you're listening to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. We have a guest coming up momentarily. We have him scheduled for 7 o'clock at 7:03. So if our guest is calling from another number that I'm known for him to call from, hit the number one on the board so I can open up your mic. We're going to take a music break, though, before we bring him on. So please hit the number one. Also, make sure if you don't want to talk on the show, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS and join the chat room. And in the chat room, you can post your questions or comments, you know, and I will read them on the air, okay? So we should take a music break, right? Don't you think so? Yeah, I do. Well, it's been really trying because I didn't really expect this, and to be honest, you guys, it just threw me off guard, and it just worried me all get out. I was like, oh, Lord, please, not again with Blog Talk. But, you know, we've had our issues with them in the past, and, you know, I've blamed them for a few things, and they've made some mistakes. But this one I will take full credit for, all right, for the problem that we had here. All right, so I'm trying to find a good track for us to listen to. Oh, I know what I want to do. Hold on. Congratulations to Mr. Joe Levy. You know our brother Joe Levy, right? Been on the show many a times, played in the movie Gale in the Storm, featuring Karen White, our brother Mr. Derek Muhammad, director. Joe is overseas right now on a tour in Asia. He's over in Japan. And, wow, he's been shooting some great clips, some great videos of his performances and wrapping up the tour, I think, about midweek. He should be wrapping up that tour over there. And I've been fortunate to see some of some great clips of his performances there. And, wow, Joe is awesome. So we're going to do, we're going to listen to a track from Mr. Joe Levy. He is nominated as R&B on Soul Tracks, R&B Vocalist of the Year on Soul Tracks. Congratulations, Joe. And we'll be right back here on the TMGS, The Michael Gay Show. Here's Joe Levy.
I can't.
Welcome back to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live on TMG and the Michael Gay Network via Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Blog Talk. Appreciate you, even when you screw up, but I screwed up this time. The time is now 7:11 p.m. on the East Coast, and I believe it's 4:11 p.m. on the West Coast. Thank you guys for listening. You know, I've always liked to have conversations, not just about music, not just about, you know, actors. And I've been fortunate to have so many, or we've been fortunate to have so many great guests on this show that are in the entertainment industry. But as Janet well knows, you know, I like to get the perspective of young individuals, entrepreneurs, you know, because they are paying attention to what's happening, the society that they're growing up in, they're, you know, that they're going to be in charge of, right? The world that they're going to have to take control of. And I met this young man many years ago, and I know I'm probably making him laugh, but his wife and I worked together at a store, and this guy was so cool. I mean, seriously cool. And I'm going to tease him when I open up his mic. Because, I mean, he was just so cool. He just dressed so dapper. And I'm like, this guy got some class. Kind of remind me of me. But ran into him recently, a few weeks back, and he shared with me what he does. And I was like, wow, that's what this show is looking for. We're looking for people who are doing things for the community, for the people, for, you know, to do things better. And when he shared with me what his foundation does, I was like, man, you have to come on the show and share this. And I'm glad that he's here. And what I want to do prior to me introducing him, I want to see if Cotton Campbell made it back. Okay, Janet, are you here? You might be on mute. You might have yourself on mute.
I'm here.
Janet, are you here?
I'm here.
Good. All right. And I see a 205 here on the board. I think I know who that is. You need to go ahead and wave your hand, open up your mic. But I'm happy to have this gentleman on the show, and I think that the topic that we're going to talk about, he is the executive director of Hands Off, and he's going to share with you what that really means and what it's all about. So without further ado, let me open the mic and welcome to the show Mr. Jeremiah Woods is our special guest. Hey, what's up, Jeremiah? How you doing? And hey. Stop. Let the man speak, okay? Sorry about that, Jeremiah. Thank you. Welcome to the show.
I'm making me feel good. Making me feel good. Making me feel real good.
Fantastic. Hey, well, thanks again. I had to say that about you because after running into you a couple of weeks ago and you sharing, you know, what you do, I was in awe. I was like, wow. You know, and I had to joke about, you know, when we first met, because, man, you used to dress with a suit, bow tie, and everything. You were Dapper Dan. You were Dapper Dan. And still, you know, have, you know, yourself being just a person who has a great sense of style. But before we get into what you do, please let our listeners know a little bit about you, so they understand a little bit who Jeremiah Woods is before we get into what Jeremiah Woods does.
Yeah. So my name is Jeremiah Woods. Most people call me Bowtie. I am the author of Bowtie More Than Fashion Fabric and the executive director of the Hands Off Foundation. Love basketball, love people, macaroni and cheese is my favorite dish, red velvet cake is my favorite dessert. But in the same past that, we'll find out as we go, baby. Let's get into it.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Are you speaking on a speaker phone?
No, I have my...
Because you're sounding a little bit muffled. Let's see if we can kind of clear up a little bit here. You just sound a little bit muffled, but I did understand what you were saying. So I just want to make sure that the clarity is there. Okay, so...
Yeah.
Okay. Janet, can you hear him clear?
It was a little muffled at first.
A little bit? Okay. We got a little bit of muffling here, so yeah. If you have any noise in the background, that's going to definitely make a problem with the, you know, with the clarity of it. So if you can get to a quiet area, that would be fine, or somewhat quiet area would be great. Okay, so so with that being said, you are the executive producer. Director of. Of a foundation, Hands Off. First of all, please let everybody know, what is Hands Off?
Yeah, so the Hands Off Foundation is a nonprofit organization that helps women and children who've been affected by sexual assault. And so what our mission is to create a world that would not stand for 28 million women a year being affected by sexual assault. And so we're building out a facility and we're raising funds to continue to build a safe place where you can live, work, and grow.
Hmm. When you say live, work, and grow, you said a community?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. A community where people who have dealt with sexual assault can live, work, and grow. All right, so I want to get more into that whole concept because that's interesting. How do you see that, and how, if you can share how that whole concept is, you know, so far in its infant stages is going. But the thing is that also I want to know, and then I'm going to let the callers or the listeners, if you don't mind, ask you a few questions. What got you interested in this whole thing as far as starting this foundation?
Yes. So what got me interested, if you will, is about 2.5 years ago, I was working
in
sales.
Oh, man, you sound a hell of a lot better. Thank you. I'm sorry. You sound a heck of a lot better. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Thank you.
No problem at all. I'm glad you gave me a little bit better. So what got me into this, 2.5 years ago, I was doing, as you know, I was selling custom bow ties. I had my book. I was also working for a company where I was selling cell phones. I was in sales. You know, I was doing my thing, living my life. And I got a letter in the mail, and I was notified that I had been selected for jury duty. And I did everything I could do to get out of serving, as a matter of fact. I said, hey, I'm sick. They said, it's okay. Take some medicine. Come on in. I said, hey, religious exemption. They said, religion ain't going to save you this time. And I gave every excuse I could give, but I ended up getting selected. And the court case that we were handling was a case of a 12 and a 15-year-old girl. And they were both accusing their stepfather of sexual assault, various crimes. And I believed that he was, in fact, guilty. After hearing the evidence, after seeing the tape, after going through the testimony, I believed that he was guilty. And it was pretty much a consensus across the jury that, hey, on the last day of this court case, we are going for a guilty verdict. This guy has committed these crimes, and we're not happy about it. But on the last day, something changed, and this is what changed the course of my thinking and why I believe what the foundation is doing is the exact path to helping survivors. The girls were put on the stand, the 12 and 15-year-old girls. By this time, it had taken almost 2-3 years to get to court. So one of the girls was 18, and the other girl was 15. And they asked them a question. They said, do you know who was responsible for sexually assaulting you? And they said, we don't know this man. We've never seen this man, never heard of this man, have no knowledge of this man. And everyone in the courtroom, their mouth dropped open wide. The reason that's so strange is because their stepfather was engaged to their mother. Their stepfather had 2 additional children with their mother. They had been together for several years. Their stepfather had been taking them back and forth to school. He was at, the different church events and whatever else, lived in the house the whole night. So it was very odd, to say the least, to say that you don't know someone who you've been living with for the past several years, who's been engaged to your mother, who has created siblings with your mother that are now your siblings. It was just a very odd situation. So long story short, when it all came down, we had 100. We had 6 guilty votes, 6 not guilty votes, and I believe that a guilty man walked free on that day. And that's what led me to start the Kendall Foundation.
Okay. I'm listening, and I see there's some hands that are popping up on the board. I'm sure some of the callers have some questions or comments for you. I definitely want to open up a few mics, and I'm going to open up 205-478. My co-host here, stand by for a minute. I'm going to open up your mics too, but I want to welcome who's calling in right now, 205-478. I think this is my friend in Beeham, Alabama. How you doing, Gwen?
I'm good, Mike, and everybody on the show. I am good on this Saturday. Like I said, I always enjoy the show, and I'm just listening and just being amazed. And, you know, and what he's doing at his foundation is, kids these days and days before, they don't, you know, like they have no say-so, but if they have someone to be there, their voice, that's a great thing.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I definitely appreciate your kind words.
Right. So I want to go ahead and let everybody ask some questions, because I'm going to come back with my own. But Lady of the House, Janet Davis, based on what Mr. Woods, Jeremiah Woods, just said, do you have any questions or comments on the foundation?
Yes. No. Well, I have a question about the testimony of the 2 young ladies. Do you think they changed their testimony to help the person not be found guilty because of the being their father of some of their siblings?
Yes and no. So I don't think it was to help their stepfather. I do think that it was to help the two younger siblings that were created during the course of their stepfather and their mother's relationship. So there were, I believe, 10 or 12 children as a total that lived in the household. He had children prior to their relationship. The mother had some children prior to the relationship. And so one of the things that they kept mentioning and that was brought up by the defense attorney and other things like that is they asked, would everything just go back to normal? If they let it all go, if they stopped fighting the case, would it all go back to normal? And at the time, I didn't realize when I was working as a juror on this case, I didn't realize what they were showcasing was what a lot of survivors showcases, which is the normal that they know, while it may be chaotic, is better than the unknown. And so for the younger kids that lived in the house, all they know is daddy's gone. They don't know that he's a predator. They don't know that he's, you know, sexually perverted. They don't know that he's harming other children in the house. All they know is the daddy that we know and love is gone, and from what we can devise of the situation, it's got something to do with our other siblings. And so a lot of times, while it may not be in the best interest of the people who were in the court case, I do think they changed their testimony because the oldest of the two girls, she said it several times, I'm about to graduate and go to the military. So she had already kind of put up in her mind that, hey, I've got a way out. I'm getting away from this scenario. I don't care what happens to him. I just want to be done with it. The younger of the two girls also stated, hey, I'm in high school now. I can't be pushed around like I was when I was a little younger. I also, you know, I'm just moving around a little different. I'm not as young. So I do think that they changed their testimony, but I don't think it was to help their stepfather. I think it was purely for their love for their younger siblings.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. Let's see. Let me see. Cotton.
Can I ask? I'm sorry.
Sure. Go ahead.
Can I ask one?
Go ahead.
I wanted to ask one more question. You know, I was looking at Mr. Woods, your bio, and you said that like 29.8 million people lose. I'm reading it wrong. You were saying that a lot of people end up having, well, women have issues after they've been assaulted. So are there any kind of classes and things that your organization provide to help them get through the difficult situations that they are in?
Yes, ma'am. So what you were talking about was I said that 28 million women a year are affected by sexual assault. And to answer your question about the organization, at this current moment, at this current juncture, what we do is if we're contacted by someone, we refer them to some of the other organizations that exist that can provide those services. For example, we had a young lady that reached out to us. Her assault had already happened, but she was kind of struggling with dealing with it. And so we guided her through the process of finding a counselor and or a therapist that worked for her and got them started on that process. But that's part of the live, the work, and the grow process that we look to implement when we build our facility. Because I have a very simple thought process on this. If you don't have a safe place to live, you don't have a safe place to work, and a safe place to grow, which I equate growth to therapy or to counseling or to any kind of creative outlet that helps you deal with the situation that you've been presented. If you don't have a safe outlet to do those three things, you will forever struggle with whatever trauma has ailed you. And so that's one of the things that we do look to implement on our own once we open our facility doors is having classes that help with those things. Yes, ma'am.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Interesting, very interesting. Unfortunately, we did have some glitches at the start of the broadcast. Again, I apologize. We lost about 30 minutes. But the good thing is that I can always extend the time. So there's people that are used to coming on at 6 p.m. We didn't get started with the show until 6:30. So hopefully we'll get some more folks coming back on and joining us. So I'm just making that point available to them right now within our chat room and everything. So you are based here in the Atlanta area. Can you give us some numbers as far as the type of unfortunate clients you have worked with, you know, that are dealing with these type of situations, you know what I'm saying? How prevalent is this? I mean, how many folks have you talked to or dealt with that are dealing with what you just shared with us, basically? How prevalent is it here in just the Metro Atlanta area or the area that you are working in?
Yeah, so I'll start kind of with a larger view answer to that, and then we'll bring it in. So the 28 okay. million number is based on 1 out of 5 or 1 out of every 6 women that you know being affected. So if you took 6 women, right, any 6, I don't care if it's mom, aunt, cousin, coworker, lady you met down the street while getting some coffee. If you took 6 women and you would have asked them and you did a survey, at least one on average out of those 6 will have been affected by some type of sexual violence in their lifetime. And so when you mm-hmm. take that number and you divide it out by how many women are in the U.S. currently, you can say that roughly close to 28 million women a year are affected. Bring that number into Georgia, and you're looking at close to 800,000 or so women that have been affected by some type of sexual violence. Over the course of the pandemic, some studies have shown that there was give or take 70% to 80% increase in rape cases, intramarital rape, sexual violence, et cetera, in the Atlanta area. So it's definitely a prevalent thing, and Georgia specifically, Atlanta, Georgia, is constantly floating between 1, 2, and 3 for the largest hub for sex trafficking as well, which is a little different from sexual assault, but they do intersect.
Yes.
Mm.
Wow.
Well, you know what, when it comes to sex trafficking, yeah, I mean, I've done some studying too because, well, you look at this is the busiest, well, probably not through the airports, but you look at the pipeline, right, that the East
right.
Coast has for transporting individuals from, you know, everybody talks about Mexico. There's people who come across boats still from other countries to this day, okay, all right, and through Florida, you know, the drug trafficking. There's human trafficking too, okay, and it
right.
goes up the East Coast pipeline. Up to New York and other states like that. Am I right?
That's correct, yeah. So what makes Atlanta one of the prime spots, unfortunately, is that it is a transient city. We've got the largest airport. We're where some would say the largest entertainment or second largest hub for entertainment is. So there's a lot of
right.
people coming in and out all of the time. And mm-hmm. it's very easy, unfortunately, to see a face and forget a face, if you will. So you may meet somebody on Super Bowl weekend at a bar or a club, and you might exchange contact information, and then you don't see them again for 10 years, and you just think, oh, you know, they're moving around. But know that, you know, something may have happened. And so that's part of it. But trafficking is kind of its own entity that takes on a lot of different forms and a lot of different caveats. But Atlanta is definitely one of the
mm-hmm.
places that it happens a lot because we have some of the, you know, largest strip clubs, and we have some of the largest entertainment venues and some of the biggest drawing cards for people to come. So you have folks coming in
mm-hmm.
and out all the time, especially with the airport being one of the largest. So
yeah, it's not, well, actually it's the busiest airport in the world. Not necessarily the largest. When people think the largest, you know, they think the busiest, but no, Atlanta is the busiest airport in the world, not the largest based on land mass. You can Google that, but the busiest, because it is a hub that where, you know, when people come from overseas, you know, a lot of folks think that New York would be it, but it's not. You know, think about ATL, Florida, the flights you can get to California and everything. You don't have to go through the snow and everything like you have to deal with up north and everything. People fly to the ATL, the major hub, right? So without
That's
you
correct.
Sharing too much of anybody's individual story, have you come across some stories that really touched you? Have you actually sat and talked with any individuals or let's say just on the phone or whatever? And with your foundation, I'm really happy to know that you're doing this to be helpful. And before we get out of here, because we're going to be here for a moment, but I definitely want you to share your contact information. We definitely want to make sure we share it with many folks to that are dealing with this or have a loved one or a friend or a family member who, because there are some people, believe it or not, who are dealing with being pressured into this, probably not part of it yet, but pressured, and don't share it with their family members, right? Because they're in fear. Am I right?
That's absolutely correct.
So I want you to share what I just asked you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, one of the stories that immediately sticks out in my mind, and I'll start with the success story, if you will. There was a young lady who reached out. It was a grandmother, actually, who reached out on behalf of her grandkids. She had two girls that were going through a situation where a family member had assaulted the girls, and they caught the family member, and they was going through the prosecution process, but the girls were having a really rough time, and so we were able to connect them with a counselor in their area, and fortunately, through some efforts of our organization and some help on the end of the counselor as well, we were able to provide them with some services at no cost to them. And they started their counseling, and from what I last spoke with the grandmother, they were enjoying their sessions. It was helping, and they were being able to cope and kind of develop some tools to process what they had experienced. And so that is a scenario that I'm really happy about, but it was very unfortunate because the family didn't know. And when they mm-hmm. found out, I mean, the father was distraught. The mother was, distraught. It was just a lot for everyone to deal with. And then you got to think about, on top of the scenario, not only have you assaulted my children, but now I've lost in this case, we'll to not give too much information, we'll say I've lost a very close family member that I thought loved and cherished me and that I had a lifelong bond with, but I've also now seen you in the light as a predator. And so it had rippling effects throughout the whole
thing. Wow. Interesting. I'm sorry, I was sitting here looking away, and I was listening to what you were saying. Let me open up this mic, and I believe this person is back. 209-689, your mic is open. Welcome back. Hey.
Thank you.
You have a question or comment?
Not at the moment. I was listening to her story.
Okay. All right. Wow. Real quick, before we get into more questions or comments and everything, share how people can contact your foundation, which is called Hands Off. Is that right?
Yes, it's the Hands Off Foundation. And you can contact us several ways. You can follow us on social media. We're on Instagram at the Hands Off Foundation. INC. You can also just Google, if you drop our name into Google, The Hands Off Foundation, INC. Our website comes up directly, and you can share your name and email address and contact us through the website. And you can also send us a text message to the number that I'm about to give out, which is 404-908-5909.
Okay. And repeat that one more time, please. You don't mind.
Yes.
Somebody might have been rushing
so
for a pen or pencil and be like, oh, damn, I'm going to pick up the pen that don't work, which we all do.
Right. So I'll start with the website, and I'll give it here so that people can get it and the phone number. So it's www.handsofffoundation.org. That's handsofffoundation.org. You can reach us through the website there, or you can follow us on social media at the Hands Off Foundation. And you want to make sure you look for the blue and white logo. If you're looking to make sure you're in the right place, because there are definitely a lot of hands on, hands off, hands to the side, hands up, hands down.
Right.
Organizations
I know
out
the
there.
Feeling.
So if you're looking for the
yeah, there's a lot of TMGNs, a lot of TMGS, I have to tell folks to look for a certain logo,
That's right.
To make sure, because there's one there that says, when I say the Michael Gay Network, and they'd be like, you know, oh, okay. Like, I see one that says Michael and Michael are gay. I said, no, that's not me. Okay, so, yeah, I know. You got to clarify. Thank goodness for locals. So when you, I mean, when you get a, I'm trying to say this in a way of where, how about times when, let's say, for instance, a person is dealing with stuff. You ever had issues where you have to communicate with law enforcement? You know what I mean? Where folks call law enforcement or they contacted you. You ever had those type of situations or when a person is, you know, really trying to get out of a bad relationship? And you mentioned not just for women, but for the children too, of course, because you just shared the story about where kids don't understand what adults are doing and how it's tearing the families apart. Your foundation, do you guys, of course, try to keep the mother and the children together when you try to help them as far as, let's say, in the event you have to help relocate them? Are you guys capable of doing that, and do you work with other partners to do so?
Yeah, so to answer that question, it's a two-part answer to that. Yes, mm-hmm. I've worked with law enforcement in the past. We had a young lady. I knew her godmom, and her godmom reached out to me, told me what the situation was, and I helped the young lady. We contacted law enforcement, worked through the police report, et cetera, et cetera. Typically what will happen is if you go and you contact us or you reach out to us, we'll do an assessment of the situation, right? So the first thing we want to make sure is that you're immediately okay. And if you're not immediately okay, we're going to do everything in our power to either find another organization that can help with the immediate services or at least get you mm-hmm. in contact with another legal entity that can help as well. Because the first thing we want to make sure is that you have safety. The next part of that is then we work on finding what services you need. And what makes us different and what we're working towards building, which is why we're looking to buy the land, build the facility, is there are a lot of organizations that do each one of the three components very well. So there are a lot of placement organizations that will help you find somewhere to live, and they do a great job at it. And then there's a lot of organizations that will help you find new employment if you are being sexually harassed at work and you've lost your employment due to pursuing a legal course of action against your employer, right? There are great organizations that work with that. Then there are also those that are great at providing therapy and counseling services. What's going to make us different and what makes us different is we look to be a three-pronged utilitarian approach, which is we help with all three of those areas because they're not separate. A lot of times people think that they're separate, but again, if you don't have a safe place to live, safe place to work, and a safe place to grow, you're always going to deal negatively with the trauma that you've experienced. So.
Interesting. Really interesting. I have the mics open for anyone who has any questions for our guest, Mr. Jeremiah Woods, the executive director for Hands Off. Glad to have him on the show and share this. This is very interesting because we know that this happens every day, not just in Atlanta. It happens everywhere. Sex trafficking, you know, kids, you know, we always think of we think of the prostitute out there who's a grown woman, but there are kids that are being kidnapped, taken, and put into the sex trafficking world, which really, you know, it's sad and it's just something where having an organization like what he has here to help the individuals who are victims of it or may have been close to being some. Some, I think, fortunately, this foundation, this organization, has saved them from being a victim of this type of underworld. Janet, go ahead. You have a question or a comment?
Well, it doesn't – well, I'm just curious. I also, when I read your bio, you were talking about being a fashion designer. So, and I know you said that they call you bow ties. So you design bow ties also? Or is that something that you used to do?
Oh, yeah, he does. He does. Trust me. He does. He designs bow ties. Like, as I said in the start of the show, when I first met the brother, every time I saw him, he had on a bow tie of different colors, different styles, different looks. But anyway, Jeremiah, you go ahead and explain. I'm going to shut up.
So I did design bow ties. And designing those bow ties led me to write in my book, which is Bow Tie More Than Fashion and Fabric, which talks about being bold, optimistic, wise, tangible, impactful, and effective. And I still design. I don't produce ties as much now because my focus has really shifted to the foundation and the work that we're doing with that. But, yeah, it's still the same concept, though, is that, you know, we need people who are bold enough to speak up, right? We need people who are optimistic about the future and the change that we can make. We need people that are wise enough to say, hey, there are some gaps in the system. Because a lot of times people get it misconstrued. I am not here to say that the other organizations ain't doing what they can do. I'm sure they're doing all they can do, and they're doing what they can do with their resources. That doesn't mean that they're not gaps that we can fill, right? We need people who are hands-on. That's part of being tangible, right? We need people who are not afraid to make an impact. And we definitely need to be effective in the work that we're doing. So while the product, I guess you could say, has changed because I'm not still actively selling bow ties, the essence, the mantra, and the spirit of it is still all the same.
All right. All right. Mm. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. We got more folks on the board that have their hands up. I'm sure you have some questions or comments. Anyone there on the board, 209-205, do you have any questions or comments? I know you've been listening intently. Also, now y'all want to be quiet? Take yourself off mute. Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Go ahead.
What's the gentleman's name again?
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah.
Oh, that's my son's name. Jeremiah. I just want to apologize.
Yes,
I had no idea what we were talking about. So I had no idea at all. So let me apologize. That's why I didn't have no questions in the initially. But I do have a question now.
Yes, ma'am.
And you may have said this already, so again, I apologize. What prompted you to start this organization? Did you already say that?
Yes, ma'am, but I'll gladly circle back to it. Because the reason I say I'll gladly circle back to it is because I want people to understand that you don't necessarily have to have a background in something to recognize that there's a problem. So I was in sales.
Right.
I was working in sales. I was selling bow ties. I was selling cell phones. Sales was my life. That was what I was focused on. I got a letter in the mail. I was selected to be a part of a jury. I don't do courtrooms. It's not something I'm a fan of. I try to stay out of courtrooms as much as possible. And but long story short, you know, I tried to do everything I could to get out of it, but I ended up having to serve in the court case that I was selected for. A 12 and a 15-year-old girl were accusing their stepfather of sexual assault. And based on the evidence, I saw the testimony that I heard and the things that went down, I believe that he was guilty. Unfortunately, on the last day of the trial, the young ladies got on the stand and they said they had never seen the man. Now, for this to make sense, you got to understand, this was their stepfather. This was the person that was taking them to school every morning. This was the person engaged to their mother. This was the person who just had two young children. I believe the ages were 2 and 3 with their mother. So to say you don't know them is like me saying, I don't know Michael. We've talked before. He's seen me before. He knows my wife. I know him. That would be crazy for me to get on his show and then say I'd never heard of him, right? Exactly.
Right.
And that's what prompted me to get into this because I couldn't understand what was the psychology of it. Why would someone go through such a traumatic event and at the last moment, we were this close to putting them away in jail. It was one last decision. You change your entire statement. That's what prompted me to get involved and start the organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me just say this. Sometimes it's very difficult for people to go through this, and I don't know what was going on with those young ladies, but I am a person who was molested as a young girl and raped as even an adult person. Sometimes it's hard to say, but when you finally get up the courage to say, and they may have had somebody in their ear telling them to do something different, you know, you just never know. It's not easy. Even I have a lot of women now who are in their 40s and 50s, and it's hard for them to talk about if they've been through something like that. It's very difficult for them to talk about. I'm not one of those people, though. So I'm very
well, I
want to
take a second. Let's not go over that. I want to commend you for coming on, speaking your piece, telling your truth, sharing your heart, because that's not a very simple thing to do. People have a hard time saying that they burped. right, in a room full of people. You know, everybody try to cover their mouth up, act like it didn't happen. So for you to be able to come on this show and state your piece, I want to applaud you, because that definitely is something that takes a lot of courage to do. Now you can continue.
Yeah, thanks. I was going to, and then the other thing I was going to say, there is a way to support you, right? I know you put your information out there, so I definitely want to support what it is you're doing.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Right now, one of the biggest things that we're asking people to do is to support us on social media, support us by volunteering. We're making a big push in 2023. My goal is to secure some land. So if you know somebody who has land, you know somebody that's selling land, somebody who's willing to negotiate a leasing contract on land, I'm all ears, because once we secure the land, we can build the type of safe haven that's necessary to provide the services that we look to provide. So, but we've got a lot of great things coming up. We're shooting some content and we're doing some different things that I think a lot of people will appreciate. So I'm excited.
Okay, awesome.
Well, look, you guys, we have about 10 more minutes left. And again, I apologize for the 30 minutes that we lost due to an issue I had with Blog Talk. But thank God we're live, we're on air. And again, before we go, I definitely want Jeremiah to share his information so you guys can write it down. You can put it in your phone, put it on your laptop, your desktop, whatever, and keep in touch with this brother. I'd love for him to come back. In fact, I'm going to talk with him just briefly after we get off air, because this is something that I think, and I'm glad that all of you had a chance to listen in to this conversation, because it is very much needed to have. It's something that, you know, many people try to avoid having, but it's a reality. And I'm glad to hear this young man that I met, as I said, many years ago, his wife and I worked, you know, together. And yes, he was the bow tie man. You know, he reminded me of me. He came in with flowers and stuff and gave it to his fiance, you know, and I'm like, go ahead, bro. Come on, man. True gentleman there, you know, and then run into him and his wife a few weeks ago, and, you know, and he shared with me what his foundation was about. I was like, oh yeah, you got to come on the show. And I told him about the other shows on the network that I think that Cotton, that you might like for him to come by and be a guest on your show. I said, because the ladies of TMGN, they are awesome. And I'm pretty sure that, this is something that, you know, your show would like to get into. That's my opinion. But, yeah, this is something that we need to always stick to and talk about. Keep up to date. The numbers that you gave me regarding here in Atlanta alone is staggering, you know, by it being a hub. It's staggering. It's ridiculous. And we don't talk about it. We don't ask our politicians. We don't ask our, you know, our leaders to address those things. But here it is. It's all available, and it happens every day. You know, that's sad. Interesting. So before we get out of here, we only have a few more minutes. Janet Davis, one more last comment. Cotton Campbell next. And also my friend in Birmingham, Alabama, Gwen, and your final comments, ladies, please.
Yes, Mr. Woods, I really enjoyed having you on our show, and I'm hoping that you will be able to come back sometime soon in the future, you know, to give us some more information on what it is as far as the women being assaulted and everything and getting help. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. It was a pleasure. Mm-hmm. And we're working all 2023. It's not a state, a town, a city, a corner, a piece of pavement I'm not trying to touch. So feel free to invite me anytime.
Amen.
Cotton Campbell, please, your final words, and share with us what's coming up on the 19th. Cotton, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Jeremiah. Thanks for coming in and sharing what is it that you, your organization information, and what it is that you do. But on Let's Talk About It is every Thursday and Friday of the month, and every third Thursday and fourth Thursday of the month. I'm sorry. I'm way too excited right now. And so our next show will be talking about the vaping epidemic among our youth and what the Surgeon General says about that.
Okay. And the date and the show time is?
Show time is 8 p.m. Yeah, 8 p.m.
8 p.m. Eastern time.
8 p.m. Central. 9 p.m.
Okay.
Eastern.
9 p.m. Eastern. Okay, so you guys mark that down. Make sure you tune in. Trust me, Cotton's shows, she has more than one. Her shows are very interesting, very educational, very thought-provoking. And the ladies of PMGN, oh, wow. When they get going, it's amazing. Trust me, it's amazing. Gwen in Birmingham, Alabama, your final thoughts or comments before we get out of here?
First of all, like I said, it was a great show. Always glad to be in the mix of the Michael Gay Show and everybody that talks and feedback, because it's awesome. But I just want to say, Mr. Woosier, what you do is awesome, you know, and what you just keep God first, always keep God first. And when you put him first, there's no steps that you cannot make. So I just appreciate what you do, and I wish you would give your foundation again, because I didn't have a pin or anything just to get on there. And like I said, like I think it was Cotton said, I would be glad to you know, do something and donate or do whatever I need to do to help you. So, you know, this is awesome, and I just thank you. And thank you, Michael Gay, for having him, and thank you, Mr. Woods, for coming on and sharing.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yeah, I definitely give my information again. So the easiest way to find everything is if you go and you type in your search bar, Google, Bing, whoever, type in handsofffoundation.org. If you type in handsofffoundation.org, we come right up. You click that first link, it takes you to our website. If you scroll to the very bottom, there's a contact us form. You can put your name, email, phone number, and send us a message. If you go to the donation page, you can make a donation. We are a 501c3 public charity, so everything that you donate is tax deductible. And I'm super excited to have everyone listening. Thank you for having me on the show. And feel free to tell somebody to tell somebody to tell somebody else. I'm coming, and I want us to your group. So if you have church groups, if you have basketball teams, if you have co-workers, whatever you have, it doesn't matter to me. If you just get five people at your house and you say, Jeremiah, we want you to come speak, I'm coming, because I want to spread the message. I want people to understand. We talk about everything under the sun. We talk about sex in every song, in every social media post, in every blog post. We talk about it in the newspapers. We talk about it on commercials. We talk about everything except how to have consensual sexual encounters that don't trigger people's trauma for the rest of their life. So I'm that one. I'm about it. I'm ready to hit the streets. Let me know, and we could definitely do something.
All right. Hey, you guys, you know, I'm thankful. I appreciate, again, all of you for chiming in this evening with our special guest, Mr. Jeremiah Woods. Jeremiah, I'm glad that, you know, it happened at the right time for me to see you in the store. So real quick, let's give a round of applause. Yes, thank you. And we will have Mr. Woods back. We only have 3 minutes left. So, hey, you guys, make sure you continue to support the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, as Cotton Campbell shared with you this week coming up. Great shows, great conversation coming to you here live, okay? Every show is broadcast live. Want to thank all the callers, my co-hosts, that are available, who's been available, Cotton Campbell, the lady of the house, the one and only Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis, and my friend over in Birmingham, Alabama. Thank you, Gwen, for joining us. Some of the other co-hosts could not make it, and, you know, this is what we do every Saturday live. I am so thankful and grateful, and make sure you tune in next Saturday as we're going to keep continuing to bring you some great conversation, great special guests, each and every Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern, here on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Show. Time to get out of here. God bless. Have a great remainder of your weekend. Good night, everyone.
Good night.